Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. I'm your host, James Vickers. You can reach us on the show at Championship Pod on Twitter, and you can also follow my personal Twitter account, which is @_JamesVickers.
Hello, my name's Lewis Shackshaft. I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan. I regularly write articles and do blogging and tweet Sheffield Wednesday statistics, so you can check those out on Twitter, which is @LewisShackshaft, or visit my website, lewisshackshaft.com.
Hi, I'm Simeon Pickup. I'm editor of the Tilehurst End, a Reading blog website. We do a lot of analysis, match reports, player ratings, all player coverage, all match coverage even. So go check us out. You can find me on Twitter at BucksRoyal and us on Twitter at the Tilehurst End.
Yeah, cheers for joining me today, guys. We'll jump straight into the results from over the weekend. We'll start on Friday night, where there was quite a big game towards the top of the Championship, which Fulham won 3-0 against Millwall. Then we jump into Saturday. Birmingham surprisingly won 2-1 at home to Sheffield United. Wolves won 4-0 away at Bolton and more or less wrapped up the title. Brentford won 2-1 against QPR. Bristol City and Hull, which I've no doubt we'll get onto, drew 5-5 in probably the game of the weekend. Middlesbrough won 2-1 at Derby, which was a very pivotal game in the playoff push. Villa won 4-0 at Ipswich. Leeds won the Yorkshire Derby 2-1 against Barnsley. Preston unfortunately drew 0-0 with Norwich City. Sheffield Wednesday beat Reading 3-0. Sunderland, who got relegated as a result, lost 2-1 at home to Burton. And Cardiff beat Nottingham Forest 2-1. We'll go over to you first, Louis. Are there any games out of those that sort of, I'd imagine we'll get onto the Bristol game, are there any outside that surprised you sort of scoreline-wise?
Surprises? The biggest one for me is probably Birmingham beating Sheffield United 2-1. And, you know, I know Birmingham are on a bit of a run at the minute under Gary Monk. But especially with Birmingham being 1-0 down and then to come back and win that 2-1, that's a huge result for them. And I know I've said it before, but I think Birmingham will certainly stay up this season. And that win was a huge boost for them. But regarding big wins, I mean, this weekend, to be honest, where do you start? You know, there's been some games or six-pointers, if you like, that have really stood out. I mean, the other one was Derby losing 2-1 at home to Middlesbrough. I know we're going to talk about Derby in the topics, but that's a huge win for Borough. I know it's not cemented the place in the playoffs for them yet, but, you know, winning that yesterday, pretty much, you know, they should be finishing fifth or sixth in the league now and guaranteeing playoffs. The other one, obviously, and I know we're going to talk about Sunderland being relegated, but with a few minutes remaining, Sunderland winning 1-0 and then Burton coming back to win that, you know, 2-1, Darren Bent scoring and then Boyce in the 93rd minute. And then the way it happened as well, because Sunderland were then denied a point in, I think, the 95th minute when a goal were ruled out for handball. So that's another result what stood out for me. And then at the top of the table, obviously, Cardiff beating Forest 2-1. They just simply had to win because Fulham beat Millwall 3-0 on Friday night. So Cardiff's victory against Forest, obviously keeping them second in the league. And then obviously, like I've just mentioned there, Millwall losing at home to Fulham 3-0. That was a standout result. I think first half it could have gone either way and Millwall, you know, looked quite good. But then second half, Fulham just ran away with it and obviously bagged the three goals. And that was another huge result for them. So it's obviously tight all around at the minute, whether you're fighting for the top two, top six or bottom three. So some real standout results, I think, this weekend.
Yeah, I think the Fulham game against Millwall in particular stood out for me. I was more surprised, sort of first half especially, with it being on TV, managed to watch the full game, just how good Millwall were first half. And I think on another day, you know, they could have easily gone in at the break a goal or two up.
Yeah.
Just didn't have luck on their side in that first half. And then, you know, straight from the start of the second half, Fulham looked a completely different outfit and, you know, got that early goal in the start of the second half and, you know, sort of really put the game to bed then over the course of the second half. And that's sort of been where their strong point's been all season, you know, sort of exposing teams who are trying to come onto them and hitting them on the break with players like Sessegnon. And, you know, it's another great goal by him. And we mentioned on the show last week just, you know, how good he's been this season, arguably the standout player. And, you know, obviously the awards he's won over the last week or two would sort of back up that point. But to go into the games yesterday, I think, as you mentioned, that Burton-Sunderland game, which we'll sort of get onto in a bit, you know, stands out more so in the manner in which Sunderland have gone down. I know we've covered sort of a few times when they've had the decent results, Sunderland, is that going to be the start of them turning the corner? And then, you know, they follow it up the next week with, you know, quite a poor performance. But the one that sort of stood out for me really, and it seems weird to say, is the Wolves game. You know, they got promoted last season and it would have been easy for them to take their foot off the gas, so to speak, against the Bolton side who are still fighting for their lives. But to go there, you know, get the early goal through Barry Douglas, who was quite unlucky to miss out in the championship team of the season, you know, goal from him, and then they sort of knock in another three just before half-time and then after half-time. To go there and win in that manner, you know, secure the title, very impressed with them, but, you know, we have been all season. Are there any other games sort of in particular that you'd like to talk about, Simeon, that stood out for a positive or negative reason?
I think you've covered it all really well, to be honest. I guess with the Wolves game, it's easy to look at it just from a Wolves point of view that they've wrapped up the title in some really good style, going to another team and winning comfortably and really putting a cherry on top of their season. But from Bolton's point of view, I know they probably wouldn't have been expecting to get even a point off a really good side, but it does leave them really dangerously close to the bottom three now. They're, I think, about 2 points off the bottom three, and Barnsley have got a game in hand on Tuesday, so it could quite easily be by Wednesday Bolton in the bottom three if results go against them on Tuesday night. Away from that, the Burton game is the one that really stands out as well. Burton showing a lot of character to come back and get that win, scoring really late on to send Sunderland down, and it keeps them really in contention to stay up. They're only 2 points off safety themselves, so if they can get another win or two, then they could, almost out of nowhere, manage to suddenly conjure up a championship spot next season.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I think especially with the way in which Birmingham, you know, got the win against Sheffield United, especially going a goal behind and then getting a goal, you know, either side of half-time to win 2-1, that's really lifted them, you know, a few points clear now. And, you know, Barnsley and Bolton both on the wrong end of results this weekend. I think it's going to be sort of looking at the fixtures each team have. You know, Barnsley have obviously got that game in hand on the rest of them, but for how poor they've been over sort of the second half of the season in particular, you know, you wouldn't expect them to pick up any points there. And, you know, I think now looking at it, it's going to be out of Bolton, Barnsley and Burton who is going to survive and which two of those are going to go down. And that result for Birmingham, you know, absolutely massive. And sort of looking at the table, I think, you know, obviously for you, Simeon, I think Reading hopefully should just be safe now. I think, as I mentioned, it's going to be, you know, one of those three teams that I previously mentioned that'll stay up. And then obviously, you know, Reading being fine. The game though that I wanted to touch on, and obviously it's grabbed the headlines, the 10-goal thriller at Ashton Gate, Bristol City drawing 5-5 with Hull City. One game I had on my accumulator, both teams to score. I thought there'd be goals in it, but, you know, never did I think it'd be 5-5. I know we talked sort of around Christmas time about the game of the championship season so far. Go to you first on this, Louis. Is this probably the game of the season in sort of the manner in when the goals went in, and, you know, for a team that's chasing the playoff and one that's trying to pull clear of the relegation zone, do you think it is potential to be game of the season?
I mean it stands out obviously because each team's only took a point, yet both scored five goals, and that doesn't happen often. It depends which way you look at it. Yeah, like I said, it's a standout game, 5-5. It'll stand out in any league in, you know, in the world, really. But, you know, it was just crazy to think that it were, with 37 minutes left, it was 3-1 to Bristol City. And, you know, if someone had said, you know, Hull City are going to score 4 goals practically in the next 37 minutes, then, you know, it'd be unheard of. You know, you just wouldn't believe what they were saying. And then they went 5-4 up, obviously, and in the 95th minute, Brian scored that goal and made it 5-5. But one of the standout players as well, not only in this game, but since he's been at Hull, is Harry Wilson. Like, he's on absolute fire at the minute. You can tell he's a cut above the players in team, and free kick again. I think he's contributed to 10 goals in 11 games. And yes, he's owned by Liverpool. But if, you know, I'm sure many Championship clubs or even lower league Premier League teams will be trying to get Wilson on their books on loan next season. But yeah, I know the other game obviously stood out previous to this was Sheffield United and Fulham, where two players scored hat-tricks. Which one wins it for me? I'm not sure, to be honest. I mean, it depends how you look at it. From a neutral's perspective, 5-5 is, you know, unbelievable. It's a game that you want to pay money for, turn up and watch. But at the same time, it was interesting because Lee Johnson says, you know, you concede 5 goals at home, it's on the on the other hand, it's disgusting, because he said that it shouldn't be 4 of those goals they shouldn't have been conceding. So, you know, defensive lapses or great attacking football, you know, is for you to decide. But yeah, it's definitely one of the games of the season for me.
Yeah, the same question to you, Simeon. Do you think that has the potential to be game of the season, or would you go for the one that Louis mentioned?
Yeah, I think it could very well do. Scoring that many goals, and considering it's two teams who don't necessarily have a huge amount to play for. I know Bristol City have still got a chance for getting into the top six, but it's not looking too likely. Hull seem to have pulled away of safety. For those two teams who have had their troubles this season and aren't necessarily right at the top or right at the bottom, to be able to come up with that much entertainment in one game is a really good, surprising thing for me. But it also shows just how good Hull have been in the last couple of weeks under Nigel Adkins. I know, obviously, they didn't get the win yesterday, but scoring 5 goals and getting 5 at Burton as well, putting 4 past QPR a couple of weeks ago as well, it shows just how good a job he's done over the last couple of months, taking a team that was so demoralised after the Premier League and really struggling at the bottom of the division, and been able to push away from safety and looking like they could be dark horses promotion next season, perhaps. Maybe getting into the mid-table or pushing up even higher than that. He's doing a really good job. And part of that is down to people like Harry Wilson, as you say. Really bright attacking talent, and be interesting to see where he finishes up next season.
Yeah, the quite annoying thing on Harry Wilson, especially from a Preston point of view, is the fact that we were linked with him in January, same with Hull. And, you know, our sort of lack of cutting edge up front at the moment is really sort of costing us, which, you know, cost us on Saturday. The amount of chances that we had against Norwich and, you know, couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. And I think ultimately that is what's going to cost us sort of playoffs, unless, you know, somehow we can win away at Sheffield United and then get a win at Burton and obviously other results go for us. But, you know, he's come into Hull, he's done fantastically well, and it does leave a sour taste in my mouth as a Preston fan that, you know, there was the option for us there to go in and get him. He was heavily linked, and I think, you know, speaking to people that sort of I know who were working at the club, you know, there was an offer on the table. You know, he wanted to come with it being just down the road from Liverpool, and for whatever reason it didn't work out. But, you know, he's done fantastically well, and, you know, him and Adkins have really been the driving factors which have, you know, fired Hull to safety. And I think next season we'll be talking about Hull, hopefully, to get it right off the field, has been one of the teams sort of challenging for the playoffs. The sort of next thing I wanted to touch on, and obviously we touched on quite a few games there around the playoff hunt, is the fact that, especially over this weekend, you know, you go down the fixture list, obviously Millwall lost, Sheffield United lost, Preston drew, Derby lost, Bristol drew. There was only really Middlesbrough who, you know, picked up maximum points in the playoff hunt. Is it a sign that as we've sort of said before, that everyone in this division can beat anyone on their day? Or is it sort of down to the fact that teams are struggling to put a run together and are sort of, the word I'd use is choking, really? I think, especially in Preston's sort of experience, we seem to get into a great position and then the next game, when there's that sort of opportunity there to capitalise when other teams around us have dropped points, we seem to drop points. I'll go to you first on this, Simeon, because obviously, you know, both your teams were in and around the playoffs last season. Looking at it this season from a Reading perspective, do you see it as sort of the division been competitive as a whole, or do you see it as teams sort of choking getting into the playoffs?
I guess if you compare the teams that are in and around the playoffs and comparing them to Reading, I guess what we were so good at last season was just grinding out wins, getting those really tough results, winning 1-0, 2-1 if we needed to, doing it regularly, doing it ugly, really kind of just getting it done by whatever means necessary. You look at some other teams now, they're really good sides. You look at Brentford in particular, who are so good going forwards. They lead the division in terms of, say, shot statistics. They're really pleasing on the eye, but they just don't have that cutting edge that really just gets you over the line in the end. And I guess when you when things like that just go against you for long enough, when you start to build those doubts into your mind, it just kind of, it builds up, it creeps up, you start to kind of lose belief and just lose any hope that you're going to get into the playoffs, even with these really good sides like Bristol City, Brentford, Derby, who've got some really good players, but they just lack that belief and that cutting edge. Particularly in Derby's case, I guess it's kind of a psychological thing, just having failed to get into the playoffs so often in the last couple of years, really just developing that bottler's tag, I guess. When it comes to the top six, they just, it seems like a weight upon their shoulders.
Yeah, the same question to you, Louis. Obviously, Sheffield Wednesday, you know, a team that have been in and around the playoffs, similar to Reading. How have you sort of seen it this season? Do you think it's a case of, you know, teams bottling it, or do you think, again, that it is sort of a sort of factor that the division is getting better and teams can beat anyone on their day?
I think it's a combination of both. And I've looked into it, to be honest, because over the last few years, like you've just mentioned, Sheffield Wednesday and Reading have been in and around the playoffs, and usually fighting for that sixth spot. There's, at this stage of the season, only a couple of teams what can get in there, but, you know, from third down to, is it 11th at the minute, there's literally like nine teams in the playoff race and the playoff contention. So I think it's, like I say, it's competitive. Anyone can beat each other on the day. But not only that, like I mentioned also, like I say, you've got the relegation fight. You've also still got the fight for top two. I think there's, at this stage, there's that many teams and a lot of games are six-pointers at the minute. Like we've just touched on when we did the results roundup, you know, there's five or six games there where really every team, you know, about 12 teams at the minute need points at this stage. There's only about six teams really where we're not under any pressure, where we're going into games at the minute and, you know, we don't necessarily need to win. And, you know, Sheffield Wednesday are one of those teams. You know, we've been mathematically safe for, you know, about 10 days now. So, you know, like I say, I think it's because it's so competitive, and even the teams at the bottom, like Birmingham, beating Sheffield United, and it's because, like I say, they just drastically need the points. You know, people's, you know, teams are on the line at the minute. You know, and a lot of managers are potentially going to get sacked. So, for that reason, I think it's just that's all it comes down to be honest. Just that there's that many teams in the playoff contention at the minute.
Yeah, you touched on there, obviously, teams in and around the playoffs, you know, from about third down to 11th, you know, there's been, it's probably the tightest playoff race that I can remember sort of in recent years, with sort of looking down the table now, Millwall in sixth down to Sheffield United in 11th, you know, there's 3 points in it, which, you know, is ridiculous to think at this stage of the season. Sort of, I'll open the question up to both of you. Out of sort of the teams chasing, so obviously Millwall, Derby, Brentford, Preston, Bristol, Sheffield, you'd like to think that Middlesbrough are more or less safe in there now. Derby obviously have a game in hand. which team do you think is going to sort of secure that sixth spot? Do you think it'll be Millwall that's in there at the moment, or do you think one of the teams sort of in that chasing pack can come in and win the last two games and sneak in?
Personally, I think it's, if I'm honest, I think it's all going to boil down to Derby's game in hand, and it's a crucial game. In fact, it's going to have a play on who finishes top two and who finishes in the sixth spot, but Derby's game in hand is at home to Cardiff, and I really think it might boil down to that. If Derby fail to pick up any points and Cardiff win, I really can see Millwall finishing sixth, and I would say that it would stay as it stands with potentially Fulham, Villa, Middlesbrough, and then Millwall in sixth spot. However, if Derby were to beat Cardiff, then it could all flip reverse, and obviously Fulham could finish top, and then Derby could finish sixth. So I'm not going to put my neck on the line, but I am going to say that simply down to the game in hand that Derby have got, that I think that result is going to be a huge factor on the remainder of the season and who goes up in second and who finishes in the playoffs. I mean, as it stands, if it were to stay as it is at the minute with Fulham in third, I believe Fulham are the strongest up there with Aston Villa. You know, the league table doesn't lie, but I'm really, as fixture by fixture goes by under Tony Pulis, Middlesbrough are slowly becoming like a dark horse where I've just got this sneaky feeling that I think Middlesbrough should obviously finish in the playoffs now, but I've got a sneaky feeling they definitely, or potentially, sorry, could be in the final and you know, could be, like I say, a dark horse. So it's going to be interesting. But yeah, I think a huge play is going to be on Derby's game in hand to Cardiff City. So we'll see how that one plays out.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Might seem like a bit of a counterintuitive point, but I look at Derby's game on Tuesday against Cardiff, and I think it's almost a negative for Derby, to be honest. I know they've got the opportunity to get 3 points, but at this stage of the season, I think Cardiff are going to be too strong for them. No disrespect to Derby, but Cardiff have been such a good side recently that I think they're going to win it. But from Derby's point of view, if they go in and lose that, you don't want another demoralising defeat. I think they've come off the back of about 3 losses in a row now. If you add another one on, even if it is a game in hand, those losses starting to pile up, it really just starts to get under the skin, and it's a psychological damage, in essence, which I think they really can't do with at the moment, and that could be the difference between them getting in the top six and not. I'm looking at the fixtures of next weekend, and that Middlesbrough-Millwall game late on a Saturday is really going to be crucial. That could decide who gets into the top six. Personally, I reckon Middlesbrough are probably going to get 3 points there. And if they do, that gives a really good chance for someone like Brentford to get into the top six. If they can get a win, they're playing away at Barnsley. So it's looking really tight, and there's still a lot of opportunities for it to change around even over the next week or so.
Yeah, you mentioned there the Middlesbrough-Millwall game, the sort of tea time kickoff next Saturday. I was going to touch on that. Obviously, next weekend you've got Millwall away at Middlesbrough, and then we're away at Sheffield United. So it's another sort of round of 6 pointers. And I think what gives the upper hand sort of in the sense at the moment, say Bristol City or Brentford, is the fact that Bristol City go away to Nottingham Forest, who obviously Bristol are coming on the back of that draw against Hull City, which is quite disappointing for them. But they're playing in Nottingham Forest side, who don't really have a lot to play for now, and you know, may have one eye on their holidays. So you'd fancy Bristol to go there and get a result. And then, as you mentioned, Simeon, you know, Brentford going away to Barnsley, who, you know, are desperate for the points, but you'd think that Brentford should have a bit too much about them. But, you know, as we touched on earlier, Brentford have seemed to be a bit hit or miss this season. They've either been, you know, one of the best teams in the division, or they sort of struggle. You know, they play nice football, but struggle to break teams down. So I think those two games are going to go a long way. The Middlesbrough-Millwall and the Sheffield United-Preston game are going to go a long way to sort of deciding the playoffs. And then, you know, scrolling up the fixture list as well, Derby go away to Aston Villa. So two really difficult games for Derby this week. And, you know, I think if they lose the game tonight to Cardiff, I think, you know, that more or less would spell an end to their playoff push. I don't think, you know, on the back of two sort of defeats against teams in and around the playoffs, that, you know, they then go to Villa and be able to produce a performance, especially with the way Villa turned up and beat Ipswich 4-0 at the weekend and having that full week to recover. You know, Derby playing their sort of three games in 7 days, as it were. So I'm sure this time next week we'll be sat here talking about how it's completely changed again, and, you know, those sort of three games of teams in and around the playoffs playing each other. I think, you know, if you're a Brentford and Bristol fan, you'll be wanting all them games to end in draws. But if you're one of those sort of six teams in the games where everyone plays each other, you know, you're desperate for a win. I know, sort of myself included, all the Preston fans are desperate to go to Sheffield United and get 3 points with our last game of the season being at home to Burton, which, you know, you'd like to think, obviously, you know, no wins are guaranteed. But if they're down already, you know, you'd like to think if we're pushing for the playoffs, we can get 3 points in that game. So I think definitely this next weekend is going to go sort of more or less all the way to deciding who is going to get into the playoffs. But we touched on it earlier, and I wanted to sort of ask you before we move on to Sunderland. Obviously, Derby County have really sort of dropped off the boil since about Christmas time. I think at Christmas we were talking about them, you know, potentially catching Wolves and Cardiff at the top and, you know, challenging them for the automatics. And it's really Fulham who's sort of grabbed the bull by the horns in that sense, and Derby have faded away. I know, sort of chatting to Andy, who comes on the podcast, who's the Derby fan that we get on, he's been quite disappointed with them in recent weeks. But sort of looking at the way they've gone about everything since Christmas, you know, it seems to be an underlying problem. And we touched on that earlier, that they more or less got the reputation now of sort of serial bottlers in the Championship, which, you know, you can make it out of what you will. I wanted to open up the question to both of you. Do you think that, obviously, there was quite a lot of rumours about Stoke coming in for Gary Rowett around Christmas time. Do you think that that has played sort of a part in their collapse? And do you think that they can still make the playoffs?
No, I don't, to be honest. I know Rowett was linked with Stoke, and you could say it was a distraction, but I personally don't think it was. And I think Rowett did the right thing, because he confirmed early, straight away, practically, that he wasn't going to Stoke, and he kind of put those rumours to bed straight away. However, at the time I said, even though Derby was on a run, and I think they found themselves third at the time, and, you know, they looked like they could potentially catch Cardiff and finish second, they've obviously gone the other way in the league, you know, currently in seventh position. But I said at the time that Rowett should have taken the Stoke job, and I know that might seem silly, because obviously the position Stoke are in a minute, and they look like they're going to be playing Championship football next season. However, I think, as much as Derby, like you say, they've been in and around the playoffs for so many seasons now, and they keep, as you say, bottling it, I think Stoke would just have been that other, you know, progressive step for Rowett, even if they were relegated. You know, Stoke are going to be, if they do come down, certainly to be one of the favourites to go straight back up. And, you know, with Derby, even though they've had some fantastic players this season, and they brought in such as Huddleston, and Vidra has been on fire, they're still just, I think, just a couple of couple of players short, you know, and it gets even harder when you've got teams like Wolves who get a billionaire owner and suddenly, you know, they can just splash the cash and buy the players that they have done. And, you know, that means that there's one less place up for grabs, I suppose. So I think, like I say, I don't think it was much of a distraction when Stoke came calling. However, I do think that Rowett should have taken that job. You know, they'll still be hopeful this season that they can finish in the playoffs. And like I've touched on, that game in hand is crucial. They are going to find it difficult, though, because, you know, even Simeon said Cardiff are, well, the second most strongest team in the league at the minute. And you'd expect Cardiff to at least get a point in that game. But then Derby have still got Aston Villa after that. And then Barnsley, which on paper might seem quite an easy game, but you know, if it goes to the last game of the season, which it will be, and Barnsley have still got that fight in them and can stay up, then that's going to certainly be a tough game as well. So, you know, even if Derby do get into the playoffs this season, I'm going to put it out there, I don't think they'll do anything in the playoffs, if I'm honest. I'd probably expect them to get knocked out in the semi-final. I think, you know, they've really slacked off this last couple of months, and I think that, you know, as much as I'm a Gary Rowett fan, I think they miss a couple of quality players. Like I say, they're not quite decisive enough and lack a bit of cutting edge. But fair play to Rowett for putting those, like I say, those rumours to bed when Stoke did come calling.
Yeah, for me, it's just a psychological thing for Derby, I guess. You look at the Spurs result yesterday, losing in the semi-final again at Wembley. They just developed that record of losing at the same stage, of going out at the same stage, and it just becomes a big weight on them and holds them back. And I think it's the same thing for Derby, getting in and around the playoffs, doing really well, but then just going off the boil in the last couple of months and really starting to collapse. But in the long term, you just need to keep hold of Rowett, just let him build something, let him try and correct the mistakes that he's made this season and really just go again next year. I think the worst thing they could do is react to this season by getting rid of him or not backing him in the summer. Just let him build something, let him really try and put together a really good side, and Derby will be a strong team next season, I've got no doubt.
Yeah, to the other end of the table, obviously we had our first relegation this weekend, Sunderland going down to League One, which I think at the start of the season, you know, the majority of us would have said that while they wouldn't get promoted, they should be okay in this division. Sunderland, you know, maybe finish mid-table and then look to build from there after sort of securing themselves for that first season. Obviously, that didn't materialise, and they now find themselves playing down in League One against, you know, an Accrington Stanley team that have been promoted from League Two, which, considering where they were this time last year, I don't think anyone would have predicted that. I just wanted to get your thoughts. Obviously, back-to-back relegations is never good for anyone. Where do they go from here, sort of, first of all? And do you think that Chris Coleman will stay and, you know, see the job through in League One? We'll start with you first on this, Louis, but, you know, the question's open to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got to hold your hands up, I suppose, with Sunderland, and just, I really don't know where they are going to go from here, because they're in turmoil, aren't they? You know, they're going to have to, from now on and over the summer up to the beginning of the new season, they've just got to start from scratch, basically. You know, they need to find their identity again. You know, a huge club in the northeast there, and, you know, they should be certainly championship level, if not the Premier League. And it's a shame to see a big club like that, you know, going down to League One. It's you know, it's happened to the best of us. You know, I'm obviously a Wednesday fan, and they've been down there, and as of Leeds United, and they just need to practically clear all those players out, don't they? That, you know, a lot of those players are all dead wood, and like I say, start from scratch, really. And if I'm honest, I think Coleman will stay. I know I've watched a few interviews with him, and he says he's got a contract, he's going to see it out, whether he's in the Championship or now League One. And, you know, he really wants to get this club back on track. But you can see that when he's talking, just the disappointment in his face is, you know, his hands are tied. And like I say, they need to start from somewhere. And there's a big turnaround needed at that club. And, you know, a lot of a lot of people did actually mention saying that could Sunderland go down from the Premier League and the Championship again, and it's happened. Next season, again, I'm not saying that Sunderland are going to get relegated from League One, but I expect them to probably just have a bang average season, finish halfway. But crucially, they just need those players what are going to put themselves on the line for the club and see where next season takes them. Because, you know, if they continue on this spiral, it could just completely go, you know, belly up for them. And I hope Coleman stays because, you know, you're not going to get any better manager in League One, really. And a club of that size, you know, with that stadium, they just shouldn't be there, and it's just bad business. So I wish them well, but at the same time, I can also see Sunderland probably being in that league for a long time and struggling. I think they're obviously in a need to go through a huge transition period, and it could take a couple of years. So we'll see.
For me, it all just comes down to the owner, to be honest. Ellis Short has just created such a negative, poisonous atmosphere almost at the Stadium of Light that it's alienated fans. It's really driven the team down. The manager hasn't been backed enough, certainly as much as he should have been. They had a good chance to try and really turn things around in the new year a couple of months ago if they'd been able to, say, replace Graben, if they'd been able to bring in a few new players, but they weren't able to do it. And everything's just gone bad to worse to a large extent because Coleman hasn't been back. So I'm not really blaming him as much as I'm blaming such a poisonous atmosphere that there is at the club at the moment. If you look at, say, the attendance figures at the Stadium of Light, it's really shockingly low. It's really disappointing to see how low the turnout is. But at the end of the day, you can't really blame Sunderland fans for not wanting to turn up and see a team that's just... it's on its last legs at the moment. It's just really worrying to see. So if they can get rid of Ellis Short, I think that's the biggest thing that they can do in the summer. If they can get in some new ownership and hopefully rebuild off the pitch as well as on it, hopefully back Chris Coleman. I think he'll want to stay and build something with some of Sunderland's younger players and perhaps bring in some hungry players from lower down the league the league system, hopefully rebuild from down there and come back up. I guess if you look at Blackburn, that's a good example of a team that, despite being in a really bad way over the last couple of years, they've still managed to go down and come straight back up. So if they can do it, there's certainly a precedent for Sunderland to get a lot better.
Yeah, I think the last point that you made there, and I was going to use Wigan as an example, but I think Blackburn and Wigan, you know, sort of two of the sort of same, you know, both sort of teams that have been in the Premiership, dropped down to the Championship and then gone down into League One. I think, you know, both of those are sort of good examples that Sunderland need to follow. I don't think, you know, buying sort of the type of players that they have been buying over the last few years clearly hasn't worked. So I think, you know, they need to have a mass clear out in the summer, you know, get in players who first and foremost know how to get out of League One, whether it's Coleman in charge or they get a manager in that, you know, knows how to get promoted out of League One as well. I think the thing with Coleman, even though he has managed at club level before, he's had such a break out of it managing, you know, international football that I think getting rid of Grayson when they did hasn't helped at all for a manager to come in and, you know, be working with the players day in, day out when he's been used to working with them once every couple of months, you know, can't have helped their cause. So I think definitely this summer it's crucial that they get it right. Otherwise, as you mentioned, Louis, they could find themselves down in League One for a good few years, similar to how sort of Preston, Sheffield United did, you know, a few years ago when sort of, I know from a Preston point of view, we didn't get it right straight away. We signed older Championship players who were sort of there for the payday, and I think Sunderland need to go down the complete opposite route and get, you know, young, hungry players in who are looking to, you know, make a name for themselves, know the division, and, you know, hopefully they can push on from there. And, you know, they're a big club, there's sort of no sort of doubts about that they need to be back in the Championship, and then, you know, from there they can sort of look to push on and hopefully get back up to the top half of the Championship and then potentially back to the Premiership. But before we wrap it up, obviously games next week, I wanted to just get your thoughts on sort of or give us a preview really for your games next week. We'll start with you first, Louis. You're going to probably the last place you want to go at the moment, to Molineux to play Wolves, who are now champions. How do you see the game going, and what would be your score prediction for the game?
You know what? You've just said that you probably won't want to go there, but I'm quite pleased we are, to be honest, because there's no pressure on either team. Like, Wolves have obviously, they're going up now. Sheffield Wednesday, we've still got, you know, a bit of pride to play for, even though, you know, we can't go down or finish in the playoffs or what have you. So we're one of them teams at the minute, like I say, with not too much to play for. And now, you know, Wolves will just want to continue their party. So I'm hoping that Sheffield Wednesday can turn up and spoil it, although, you know, it'll be very minimal spoiling the party, but, you know, at least a little bit. So if we can turn up and... Wednesday just need to go and enjoy the game. Look, they're going to the league leaders away from home. You know, you'd ask any Wednesday fan to go to Wolves this season away, and we'd be happy with a point. But you know, if you'd expect Wolves to win this game, if I were going to predict a result, I'm going to say Wolves will win 2-1 just because of the quality that they've got on show. But like I say, we need to just go and enjoy the game. You know. You're not going to see players like Jota, Neves, you know, Bolly, Douglas, players like that in a league of the Championship much more. You know, the quality players are going to go on to bigger and better things. So, like I say, you know, we're just going to go, hopefully, pick up a point. But I also, like I say, my prediction, you would expect Wolves to win. So if we can go there and spoil the party a little bit, then that'd be great.
Yeah, and over to you, Simeon. Reading at home against Ipswich, who, since sacking Mick McCarthy, you know, haven't really seen a stand in form. So I think with them, it's been a case of be careful what you wish for. How do you see the game going, and what would be your sort of score prediction from the game?
Well, we just desperately need a win, to be honest. We had a good chance to try and get 3 points. They to cement our place in the division, couldn't get it. But it puts a lot of pressure on next Saturday, trying to really stay ahead of Barnsley and Bolton and just try and pull away and really cement our place, because our last game of the season is away at Cardiff, and if that battle for second goes to the last day of the season, we really don't want to be relying on getting 3 points at Cardiff to stay up. So we really need to get that win as soon as possible against Ipswich. It's going to be a nervy game. It's going to be very, very tight from our point of view. I'm sure Clement is not going to want to commit too many men forward and risk conceding another goal at the other end of the pitch. But if we can hopefully keep it tight, maybe sneak something from a set piece, then I'm pretty confident we'll be able to hold on to the win and see it out. But it's that first goal that I'm really worried about, to be honest. But I guess if you push me for a score prediction, I have to say 1-0 Reading, and hopefully cement our place in the Championship.
Yeah, and to touch on Preston's game, one of the games of the weekend, I'd say, from a neutral point of view, we go away to Sheffield United, where it's been sort of a mixed sort of place for us to go in recent years, you know, winning a few, drawing a few, losing a few, and sort of even thinking about it now with implications it's going to have on the playoff race. You know, I'm already getting nervous speaking about it, but I think to go there, the last thing I'd want to do is to go there, play defensively and get beat 1-0. I think it's been a good season for us, and I think, you know, if we go there with no fear, no one expected us to get the playoffs at the start of the season, especially, you know, with the manager Simon Grayson leaving on the first day of pre-season. If we can go there, you know, leave everything on the pitch and not have any sort of what-ifs after the game, regardless of the result, I'd be, you know, more than happy. Obviously, I want to win and take that playoff push right down to the wire with us only being 2 points outside it. But, you know, if we do get beat and we miss out on the playoffs, no complaints from me whatsoever. It's been a fantastic season in Neil's first season in charge, but, you know, hopefully we round it off and at least go into the last game still in contention. If I was to go for a score prediction, with how we've been in front of goal recently, my head says that it'd probably be a score draw. If I was to go with my heart, I'd say that Preston are going to nick it 2-1. Couldn't tell you who's going to score because we've been sharing the goals around this season, but I think it's going to be a very tight game, and, you know, whichever way it goes, you know, either team then will push on into the last day and you know, be challenging for the playoffs. But with that, we're out of time. If you two want to let everyone know where they can find you and any projects that you're involved in, now would be a good time.
Yeah, so I'm Louis Schackshaft. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is at Louis Schackshaft, as is my website, louisschackshaft.com, where you can find all my articles and blogs. I've just done some recent work with the Sheffield Star. I've done a couple of columns in their paper, so you can check those out on my Twitter feed. And for those who are interested as well, the England, well, the European Championships under 17 start on Friday the 4th of May. So I'll be doing all match reports and attending those games for Shoot Football. So I'll be at all the England games. So if you want coverage of those, check out my Twitter feed also.
I'm Simeon Pickup. I'm editor of the Tarhurst End, where we talk everything about Reading, sometimes on their podcast as well. You can find me on Twitter at BucksRoyal and the Tarhurst End on Twitter at the Tarhurst End. So go check us out.
Yeah, you can follow me on my personal Twitter account, which is at @_JamesVickers, where I tweet mainly about Preston North End and quite a lot of Bundesliga German football as well. So if you're interested in either of those, definitely check those out. And more importantly, you can reach us on the show, which is at ChampionshipPod on Twitter, where we post a link to each new episode each week. And there's plenty of stuff to get involved in on there as well. So definitely check that out. Cheers for joining me today, guys. It's a pleasure to have you on as always. Hopefully for you, Simeon, Reading can get the points as soon as possible, and hopefully for you, Louis, you can finish sort of high up the table as possible. Cheers for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.